All right, this is Nehemiah chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to verse 16. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zaccur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasenaah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakkoz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Baana, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Oyada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodeah, repaired the gate of Yashana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repaired Malatiah, the Gebanite, and Yadon, the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mitzpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Hahaiah, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jedaiah, the son of Harumath, repaired opposite his house. Next to him, Hattush, the son of Heshabniah, repaired. Malkiah, the son of Harim, and Hatshuf, the son of Pahat Moav, repaired. Another section, and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloshet, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Malkiah, the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakkerem, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And Shalom, the son of Kol Hotze, ruler of the district of Mitzpah, repaired the fountain gate. He rebuilt it and covered it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And he built the wall of the pool of Shelah of the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Atzbuk, ruler of half the district of Bet-Zur, repaired to the point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool and as far as the house of the mighty men. Well, I'm very happy that this morning we have Pastor Hui Seng from our managing congregation to come and preach to us. As you may know, from year to year, I would invite him to come and preach to us at the English congregation, and he would invite me to preach at the Mandarin congregation. I've done my duty for this year. So he's here with us today. I ask you to please welcome him to the Hebron pulpit.
A very good morning to all of you, our fellow brothers and sisters from the English congregation. On behalf of our brothers and sisters from the Mandarin congregation, I'll say, Ping An. Well, this year, Hebron celebrates our 50th anniversary, or we call it the Year of Golden Jubilee. When the Old Testament, the Year of Jubilee is also a year of renewal, or some people call it a reset year. And those Israelites who had sold themselves to become slaves would be free in a year of Jubilee. And then they will return to their own clan. And the properties that were sold would also return to the original owners. And for Hebron, as we celebrate our Golden Jubilee, let us also reflect as a community how we can live out our freedom in Christ and how we can rebuild the property that we have. And we shall do so by turning our attention to the book of Nehemiah. I'm not too sure if you have read the whole book before. I hope you do. All right. So we would like to ponder over the lessons that we can learn from this book, and especially from chapter 3, which Pastor Shinhu has kindly read for us. I know that some people, once, whenever we see a passage with all the names, right, our first instinct is to quickly skim over. Right? I used to do that as well. But sometimes when we just look at in those names in some detail, I think there are powerful and precious lessons that we can learn. And I hope that we can learn from this chapter 3 for today. Right, so we'd like to apply the lessons that we learned from today to see how we can rebuild the property that God has entrusted to our care. But let us first pray. Father Lord, we want to give you thanks for this morning as we come before you to listen to your word. We ask that your spirit illuminates us in our hearts that we may know and we may be attuned to your leading. So we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this picture on the slide shows us how the city Jerusalem looks like during the time of Nehemiah. So this is a bit too fast. Okay, this is looking at the city of Jerusalem from the plan view. I got this from the ESV Study Bible. I hope you have that as well. So there are many good references that we can look at from there. But so we see that the bold black outline is the boundary of the city wall that was rebuilt by the Israelites under Nehemiah's leadership. And amazingly, Nehemiah and the Israelites completed the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem within a short span of 52 days. 52 days. And Nehemiah chapter 3 tells us the approach that was taken by the Israelites in rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And firstly, let us look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. If you are able to, can read with me. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. When the Israelites began to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, the first description, right, tells us that it was Eliashib, the high priest, together with the priests who rebuilt this portion of the wall, from the sheep gate all the way to the Tower of Hananel. But where is this? All right. So from the sheep gate to the Tower of Hananel, we see that it's actually, you know, at the northern side of the Temple Mount. And then, you know, the priests are the ones who would serve at the temple. Right, they are responsible for the sacrifices and the offerings made. And in the book of Ezra, we will read how the Israelites who returned from the exile, they rebuilt the temple, the second temple. But on rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, in the book of Nehemiah, I think most of us would think that this has nothing to do with the priests, right? This should be the work of the people, because the priests should focus, right, the energy, the attention on managing all the work related to the sacrifices and offerings. So rebuilding of the wall, what's that got to do with the priests? But in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, we see that the rebuilding of the wall was started by the high priest, right, Eliashib, and the priest, his brothers. What does this mean for us?
Well, firstly, we see that the rebuilding of the wall was an immediate and urgent task for the Israelites, right? So all Israelites need to be involved, regardless of their job and regardless of their status. And secondly, to the Israelites, right, the temple is the most important building in Jerusalem. Hence, when rebuilding the wall, it is essential that they will rebuild the portion of the wall that is meant to protect the temple. And thirdly, since the priests are the ones who would be most concerned about that part of the wall that is protecting the temple, so naturally they would participate, right? They would care a lot, and therefore they would participate in rebuilding that portion of the wall that will protect the temple. And last but not least, since the priests are the spiritual leaders of the Israelites, they should also lead by example, right, in rebuilding the wall. So this is what we can see from this passage. And this is somewhat similar, right, to the situation of people who need to rebuild their homes after a major disaster. But no matter what job you have, when your own house, your own home needs to be rebuilt rapidly after the destruction, you cannot just sit and wait and talk without moving, without acting. And so if the leader feels that rebuilding the home is a very important and urgent task, then he would not just wait for other people, but he would also involve himself in the rebuilding process. However, we may have become very used to outsourcing work to others, right? In a lot of our workplaces, where we talk about outsourcing work, right? So, and we have also become very used to just coming up with money, right? We pay, and then others do the job. And so, we may have inadvertently adopt the same mindset into church ministry and God's work. We expect to just come up with money to pay, and somebody, you know, Pastor Shin Ho, you know, Pastor Yen, and all the others, you know, the ministry staff, they will do the work. And in addition, right, we may also tend to put our focus on what can be seen and procured with money, such as the hardware, right, everything that we can see. And we may just happen to neglect what may be more important, right? That which cannot be bought with money, such as the heartware, you know, spelled H-E-A-R-T, and the spiritual dimension. We started Project Ezra about 5 years ago. By the way, I borrowed a few of these slides on Project Ezra from Elder David. Right, Elder David, thank you very much. In less than 3 years, right, our lease will be up. And so we are now very focused on collecting funds for the lease renewal, right? And then also as well as the A&A works that will be required for our 30-year-old building. Of course, this is necessary, right? We need to have funds in order to do all of that. But as the Project Ezra committee cracked their heads over the fund collection and planning for the redevelopment of the building, an important question arose. What is it that we want to do over the next 30 years of the new lease? Right? What is it that we want to do over the next 30 years? Because what we want to do would determine how we plan to use the resources that we have. And the resources are limited. And what needs within, and what needs would the redevelopment of the building serve to satisfy? Right? So this is an important question that we have to answer. And hence the Hebron leadership, right, from the pastors, elders, deacons, to every level of the ministry leadership, right, we need to come together to talk about it and to seek God's guidance. And the whole spiritual leadership needs to be involved. Right? So this is what we can see. And then, as we continue to look at Nehemiah chapter 3, it also shows us something very important, that the rebuilding of the wall is not just the spiritual leadership, but it is also the responsibility of every Israelite. Right. So this morning, we only read the verses from verse 1 to verse 16. But if we continue on reading through the whole chapter, right, we can subdivide, right, whatever all the Israelites that were listed who were involved in the rebuilding of the wall into the following categories. First, we see the priests and the Levites, right? These are the spiritual leaders, right? We'll call them the spiritual leaders and the full-time ministry staff. All right. They are concerned whether, right, the temple will be protected by the wall. Okay, so this is what we have read just now. And then you also see the rulers, right, of Jerusalem district and the other districts, or we can call them the governing or ruling leadership. These leaders are concerned whether Jerusalem and the country will be adequately protected by the wall. And Jerusalem represents the whole Israel. Right? I mean, even though they were still pretty much in control by the Persian Empire at that time, but to them, it is the country, right? The Jerusalem represents the whole Israel. So should Jerusalem fall, then the whole Israel would also fall. And it's just like if the capital of a country, right, is invaded by the enemy, it is almost as good as the fall of the whole country. And we saw recently, right, what happens in Afghanistan. And those who live, and then we also see that those who live opposite to the wall, right, they are also involved in rebuilding that portion of the wall that was opposite to their home. Right? So this relates to the individual family, right? Because there are personal stakes involved, right? Because these people are concerned whether their own homes will be protected by the wall from the enemies. So there is personal stakes, right? And then we also see that there are the daughters, right? The daughters of Shalom, right? Who's involved in building as well. Which means that it is regardless of gender, whether it's male or female, all of them are involved in the rebuilding of the wall. And then we also see that the people from the marketplace, right, were also involved in the rebuilding of the wall because their properties are in Jerusalem, right? Hence, they would be concerned whether their properties would be protected by the wall as well. And then last but not least, we see Jericho, Tekoa, Gibeon, and Mizpah. These are the cities surrounding Jerusalem. So although the people from these towns, right, these cities, they do not live in Jerusalem, but just as what I've said just now, Jerusalem represents the whole Israel. Right? So if Jerusalem falls into the enemy's hands, it is as good as the whole Israel. So whether regardless of where you live, right, in Judah, it's as good as you are gone. So hence, so long as you belong to the people of Israel, you will participate in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And so because all the Israelites were involved in the rebuilding of the wall, they completed the rebuilding within a short span of 52 days. 52 days. 5-2, right? That's just more about 1.5 months, right? Slightly less than 2 months. Hence, as we now move ahead to prepare for Project Ezra, right? This should not be the work of just a small group of people. But everyone who is related to Hebron, especially everyone who worships at Hebron, right, whether is it physically or online, right, all of us, we should be involved. And so it is the whole church, right? Whether you're from the English service or whether you're from the Mandarin service, regardless of whether you're from the Saturday 5 p.m. service, the Sunday 9 a.m. service or the 11:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. service, right? Everyone should be involved. And there are many areas in which you can be involved. Right? So far, we have always emphasized on the raising of funds. Right? This is an area that we will have to continue all the way until the end of the project. But there are also some other areas that need help, such as the planning of the ministries for the next 30 years, how to develop those ministries, especially now we talk a lot about the outreach aspect, and then the whole redevelopment process of the rebuilding, right? That will also come in as we move into that. And in the planning of the ministries and redevelopment work for the next 30 years, then of course, I mean, besides asking Elder David, right, what we should be doing, or asking Pastor Shin Ho or the spiritual leaders, right, we should also be thinking, right, what are some of the considerations that the church should be looking at. And so that's where and how we can see Nehemiah, how he proceeded to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Right, so the red outline shows the boundary of the wall that was rebuilt by Nehemiah and the Israelites. But you know what? This was not the original boundary of the city of Jerusalem. Right? The plan view allows us to see much clearer. The shaded area, which will include the whole green shaded area, was the original size of Jerusalem before the Israelites were exiled to Babylon. Right, the wall of Jerusalem that was in ruins, right, would therefore include the portion, right, that would surround the whole green area. So now the question is, why did Nehemiah not rebuild the wall such that it would surround the whole original Jerusalem? Why would he only rebuild the wall that is indicated by the red outline? I'm a bit too fast. Yeah, it's just the red outline. Okay? So why did he do that? The answer is simple. Because before exile, the population of Jerusalem was about 25,000 people. Right? I mean, this is according to the Bible scholars. Although the Israelites who returned from exile are numbered about 50,000, you can look at it in the book of Ezra, right? And they did not all live within Jerusalem. In fact, it was spread across Judah. Right? So those who dwelt in Jerusalem was probably less than 5,000. Right? And the green shaded area was meant to support a population of 25,000. But now you only have less than 5,000 people living in Jerusalem. In other words, assuming that we have 5,000 people living in Jerusalem during Nehemiah's time, they definitely did not need a big area of the city, right? And if the objective was to quickly rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, then that would not have been possible. If they were to rebuild according to the original boundary of the wall, they would need a lot more time. It would not be possible to rebuild within 52 days. And even if they were not in a hurry, right, in terms of the population size at that time, it would take a long time before they could rebuild all the ruined buildings in a green shaded area for the people to live. And Nehemiah's immediate task at that time, right, was to adequately protect the temple and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That was his most urgent and immediate task. And hence, they would rebuild the wall as shown by, the red outline. And the portion of the wall from the north to the eastern side, right, that is actually still the old wall. Portions of it, no, they maybe made some slight adjustment, but we can say that that is essentially the whole old wall that was rebuilt. But a portion of the wall, right, on the eastern side, okay, and especially indicated by the blue line, right, from the old gate all the way down to the south, next to the pool of Siloam, that is actually a new wall. Right. So it's actually the rebuilding is part of the old wall, and then there is actually also a new wall that they built. So God gave wisdom to Nehemiah so that he knew that he should not just follow the original boundary of Jerusalem when he was rebuilding the wall. But after understanding the situation and the needs of the times, he rebuilt what was relevant at the time. So over the past 1 year and 9 months, right, COVID-19 had turned the whole world upside down. Right, it has caused churches to rethink, what is church? Right? What is the function of the church? Well, in June, as I was listening to a podcast by one of the mission organizations, I came across this interview with a sister from an Indonesian Chinese church. Right, this sister shared about her own church in Jakarta. Right, in normal times, their church could easily have about 5,000 worshippers packing into the building, right? So in normal times, 5,000 people. I mean, if you come to a special, maybe Christmas, 6,000. No? But during COVID-19, on a Sunday, less than 200 worshippers came for the physical service. Such an enormous church sanctuary, but only 200 worshippers. That was heartbreaking for her. You know? I mean, she was a deacon of the church. It was heartbreaking for her. And in reality, we also know that when this pandemic ends, the whole world will have entered into a new normal. In fact, we have already entered the new normal. Right? It will be quite impossible for us to return to the lifestyle before the pandemic. And even the experts are saying that, right, there will always be new viruses. Right? And the Bible tells us that in the end times, right, natural disasters and human-initiated tragedies will only become more frequent and more serious. And therefore, no matter how grand and enormous the church building may be, it may just become obsolete. It may just become an empty shell when those events struck. And all the money and whatever investments that poured into it may only just be washed down the drain. So Nehemiah chapter 3 gets us to reflect, how should we rebuild Hebron for the next 30 years or even the next 50 years? And what kind of hardware do we have to rebuild? Well, the hardware would refer to our physical building. And, you know, should we just be doing one-for-one replacement when we redevelop the physical building? Or rather, should we be looking at the future times and the needs and then plan what should be upgraded, what should be new, and what should be discarded or demolished? The hardware, the HEART, would refer to the people and the human systems. Where the pandemic has highlighted the issues we have regarding the spiritual conditions of the believers. I'm not too sure about the English service, but at least for the Mandarin congregation, it has highlighted to us where our believers, our members, the spiritual conditions are. You know, as members of Christ's body, right, we should all be connected. However, many of our members are actually disconnected from one another. Many of them are actually alone. Now, although we may see each other on Sundays, right, we may run into each other and then we say hi, and then we may even joke with one another. But that may only be at a superficial level. We may lack spiritual partners whom we can share our innermost needs and struggles. Most people are probably too caught up, right, with their own lives, and we end up not showing enough care and concern for others. And we are we also lacking in mission-mindedness? Right? By this, I do not mean having the mind to do cross-cultural missions, right? But rather, do we have that sense of mission, right, in us? You know, that in all that we do, we are concerned that how the mission of God may be accomplished through us. So when the pandemic resulted in some of the ministries having to put on hold their activities, right, are we glad to just stop and rest and do nothing? Now, don't get me wrong, right? Resting is important. But we need to be careful that we do not rest too much and become lazy or lethargic. Our resting should enable us to become refreshed, to be rejuvenated, to be recharged, so that we can soar high again on wings, right? Once the restrictions are lifted, we immediately spring into action. Or even when the restrictions are in place, right, we are already looking at how we can do things in a creative and innovative way in order to minister to our members. So are we able to adopt a new posture, right, to face the challenges ahead, to become more effective to carry out the great commission that has been entrusted to us? And obviously, right, we need to rebuild the inner life of our members. Right? So this is something that we have to look at. So while we are concerned about the fund collection for the Project Ezra, we should also be concerned about how we can rebuild our inner life. And our systems, therefore, also need to be rebuilt. And this may include the way that we govern and provide pastoral care. The Mandarin congregation, right, we had restructured our pastoral care system since last year, and so that our primary pastoral care is now provided via the fellowship structure, right? So they do not need to just look for me, right? So within the fellowship, that is the primary care that they should be cared for. It is still in its early stages, right? We are still experiencing some birthing pains, right? So, but we need to nurture and equip more members to serve in the fellowships. And this will include leading the fellowships and small groups. So this is what we are doing for the Mandarin congregation. I believe that the English congregation, right, the pastors and the elders and the leadership are doing things, right, trying to also ensure that the members are better cared for. And last but not least, whether it is rebuilding the hardware or the heartware, this should not only involve the minority. Right, the issue is, how can we and how can every Hebronite rise up and be involved in this rebuilding? On one hand, we need to ask God, right, to grant our leaders the wisdom to know how to mobilize the whole church. Right? That needs wisdom, especially during this pandemic. On the other hand, every one of us, right, every Hebronite, we need to learn not to be passive. Right? We need to learn how to be more proactive. It's not because somebody gave us a shove, because Pastor Shinho come and shove you a little and then you move one step, and then he has to shove you two times and then you move two steps. Right? That is what we call being passive. But rather, right, we need to be more proactive and learn to exercise our faith. Right? And we can exercise our faith by volunteering, right, for the work. If you're unsure and you do not know what to do, right, how to do the work, no worries. Because it is not about not knowing how to do, but it is whether you have that willingness and the commitment to learn. So long as you're willing to learn, just volunteer yourself. And then I believe that the leaders will be happy and to see how they can group you in and then how to show you the way. And when will the Lord Jesus come again? When will this world end? We do not know. Only God has the answer. But if the Lord willing, we may still be able to have another 30 years or even 50 years. But if the Lord is unwilling, we may not even get past next year. So importantly, we want to grab hold of the mission, of our mission, and ask God, right, to let us see clearly the circumstances that are surrounding us. And so come, let us rebuild. Let us rebuild the work that God has entrusted to us. And let us rebuild our spiritual home. And let us rebuild our inner life. Let us pray. Father Lord, we want to give you thanks for this morning. We thank you that through the book of Nehemiah, you showed us what we can do to rebuild whatever that you've entrusted to us. We ask that you help us, whether it's from the leadership now to every single Hebronite, that we will come, that we will rise up and rebuild. We thank you and pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.